In Romans chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Why should we preach the gospel? Now, first of all, what does it mean to preach the gospel? Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 1 and 2, we have these interesting words introducing the greatest chapter in the Bible on the resurrection theme. The Apostle Paul starts out by saying, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." Verse 2 says, "by which also ye are saved." You see, preaching the gospel means you are sharing the truths of Jesus Christ that would lead people to salvation. Preaching the gospel means you are telling people, you are sharing with people what Jesus Christ did to save our souls. Of course, that involves the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But that is the reason why we can be saved. We can be saved because Christ paid for our sins. And that's the preaching of the gospel. God wants us to preach the gospel to the lost. It's interesting to me in Luke 24, in the chapter on the resurrection, in Luke chapter 24, it says in verse 45, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." This is taking place when the Lord is meeting his disciples after he had already met the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. He then meets the rest of the disciples and he opens up the scriptures to them, to their understanding. It says in verse 46, "And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." And look at verse 47, if you have your Bible open. "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations." Beginning at Jerusalem, of course. And so it is the Lord's will that we preach the gospel. Repentance and remission of sins. God's plan for salvation of every individual is that each individual will receive Jesus Christ by faith as their only Savior. And this takes place by sharing the gospel, by preaching the gospel. Now, what are the reasons that I am motivated? What pushes me? What motivates me to preach the gospel? And I'll share five reasons for you. I'm sure they're not new to you, but I want us to reflect on these, and I hope that they would motivate you to be involved in the preaching of the gospel right here. And it may be that God would want you to take your life and your family and go somewhere and be a preacher and be a missionary. But if not, he still wants to use you right here where you are. Now, first of all, I want you to know that I'm motivated primarily and first of all by my worship. Now, what I mean by that is this. I preach the gospel because God is worthy to have his name proclaimed. Primarily that. He is worthy to have his name proclaimed. If you were to begin reading in the book of Revelation and you go through chapter 1 and then in chapter 2 and 3 you have the seven letters to the seven churches. At the end of chapter 3 we have a change in the scene in the book of Revelation, and we have a scene in heaven that takes place after the rapture, okay? After the church age, you have what takes place in chapter 4 and 5 in heaven. And there you see the 24 elders and the four creatures bowing before the Lord and worshiping him. Now look at what it says in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 10, or I'll quote it if you don't have it open. "The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things for thy pleasure. They are and were created." God the Father is worthy to have his name proclaimed because he is the creator of the world. Now it says that they cast their crowns at their feet. I want you to keep that in mind. We'll see something about that in just a moment. But secondly, in the very next chapter, Revelation chapter 5 verse 9, Jesus Christ is worthy to have his name proclaimed because he is the Redeemer. It says in verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And so here are the believers of all ages that are worshiping God the Father, and they're worshiping Jesus Christ because they are worthy. And it says that the 24 elders cast their crowns before the Lord's, before God's feet there. And I want to point out that in Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul refers to the people that he had led to Christ as his crown. Look at this, Philippians 4, verse 1. Dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. You see, the crowns that we are going to cast before God's feet when we, after the rapture, when we're in heaven, and after the great, after the judgment seat of Christ, are in part, I believe, the souls that we have brought to Christ through the preaching of the gospel. What are you going to have to give, to cast at God's feet when we get to heaven and we're worshiping Him before His throne? The Apostle Paul was making reference to the Philippian believers as his crown. He also wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19, and he called them his crown of rejoicing. And so, God is worthy to have His name proclaimed. The Lord Jesus Christ is worthy to have His name proclaimed. And that ought to motivate you to share the gospel with others so that others can be saved. And that, and when we stand before the Lord, we can cast our crowns before His feet simply because He is worthy. And if there's no other reason, God is worthy to have His name proclaimed. Now, secondly, I want us to think about this. And as being in a military environment, we ought to be able to identify with this. I am motivated by my sense of duty. We already read in Luke chapter 24, but in Matthew chapter 28, we have another part of the Great Commission. Christ commanded us to proclaim His name. We have a duty to proclaim the gospel before the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a duty because He said in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach all nations simply means to make disciples, and you make disciples by preaching the gospel. And then you also are to disciple those people because it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And then we have the promise of His presence, and lo, I am with you always. But the Lord Jesus Christ commanded us to preach the gospel. And if there wasn't any other reason, we ought to preach the gospel because He told us to, because it's our duty. And so that's one of the motivations that I have. But secondly, we have a duty before man. Romans chapter 1 and verse 14, we read verse 15, but verse 14, Paul said to those same Roman believers, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. The Apostle Paul was motivated to preach the gospel because he felt that it was a sense of his duty. He owed it to them to preach the gospel. I love Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 27. It says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Now here's an Old Testament principle that was given 1,000 years before Christ. But it's the same principle that we ought to put into practice today for sharing the gospel. If we have the good of the gospel, how can we not share it with someone when it is in the power of our hands to do it? So it's our duty. You ought to be a preacher of the gospel because God is worthy to have His name proclaimed. You ought to be a preacher of the gospel because it's your duty before Jesus Christ and before lost man. Number three, I'm motivated by my conscience. People will end up in hell because they don't know Christ. Do you believe that? Now, I understand that that is a hard thought to process. I don't like to dwell on that thought. I don't like to think about that someone might end up in hell because I have not shared the gospel with them. And some theologians might debate different theological positions regarding that. But listen, all I got to do is realize, hey, Jesus believed that. Look at what it says in Luke 18. Jesus was convinced of the fact that someday some people would end up in hell because they do not know the Savior. Luke chapter 18, verse 17 says, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." There's no way to be saved outside of trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's why He commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And no one will ever be saved if they have not heard the name of Jesus Christ and have trusted Him as their personal Savior. And my conscience drives me. I'm so thankful that Paul Volle had a burden for souls and was knocking on doors in the Melrose Park area in 1969. I'm so thankful that I had a pastor in Melrose Park that was preaching the gospel when I was a six-year-old boy sitting in the church, and he was preaching on the rapture and on end times. And I realized, although I had was born and raised in the church and I went to Sunday school, I knew all about Jesus and about Him dying on the cross. I knew all about that. But when he was preaching on the rapture, I realized I needed to be saved before it was too late. And I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior as a young boy. And I am motivated by my conscience. I don't want anyone to end up in hell because I have not shared the gospel with them. And we ought to be preachers of the gospel. Jesus was convinced of that. Jude, the brother of the Lord, was convinced of that. Jude 23, "And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire." Peter clearly declares that there is no salvation apart from Christ, Acts 4:12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." The Apostle Paul declares that there's no other way to be saved. Romans chapter 10, it's been mentioned even in the video. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they be saved? How can they believe if they've never heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And so our conscience ought to drive us to sharing the gospel. He was so convinced that of the fact that there was no other way to be saved, the Apostle Paul was convinced of this fact, that it caused him to give his life completely. And you know that in Acts chapter 20, how he said that he kept back nothing that was profitable unto them and so on. The Apostle Paul was able to declare that his hands were pure of the blood of all men. He tried to share the gospel with everyone that he possibly could. I love reading in the Bible how he says, "They of Caesar's palace salute you." Even when he was imprisoned, how many centurions and how many guards and how many rulers did the Apostle Paul share the gospel with? And yet, we shy away from that too often. I hope you won't. I hope that you'll be faithful in sharing the gospel. Number four, I am motivated by my own fear of the Lord. Now, what do you mean, you say? Every believer will give an account to Christ for how we have served Him. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 2 Corinthians chapter 5 both point out that one day we are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." The Apostle Paul was motivated to share the gospel, to preach the gospel, for his proper fear of the Lord. He, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, he gave his life to the preaching of the gospel. And so how can we do any less? Now, lastly, and I believe one of the greatest motivations is still found there in 2 Corinthians. And if you'll please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Right after that passage that we read concerning the judgment seat of Christ, the Apostle Paul shares with us another motivation that he has, and that is what I believe to be the greatest motivation, and that is love. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14 says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Now, the Apostle Paul simply said, if we were all dead, if Jesus died for all, that means we were all dead. We all needed to die. But if he died in our place, and we have a life to live, how can we not live it for him? He died for us and rose again. The life that we now live, we should live it unto him. And all of that, he summed that up into these terms, the love of Christ. The love of Christ is what motivated the Apostle Paul. And I'll be honest with you, if there were no other reason, I want to preach the gospel. I want to share the name of Jesus with others simply because I love Jesus, and I love him simply because he loved me. How can we not share his name with others when he has done so much for us? If Christ has done so much for me, how can I not live for him? How can I not give my life to sharing his name with others? God's plan for the salvation of every individual is that they receive Jesus Christ by faith as their only Savior. And God wants to use you to share the gospel with others. And I hope you will give your life to that while you're here. And by the way, if you're here tonight and you've not received Christ as your Savior, today is the perfect day to be saved. Simply bow your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the forgiveness that he's offered to you based on the fact that he died for your sins and he paid for them in full and he rose again the third day. And you can receive him by faith. And I pray that you would take that message to this area. And I'm so thankful that you're doing, you're putting forth efforts to send that message around the world. I pray that you would continue that until the Lord returns. Pastor, I want to turn the rest of the service over to you. Let's bow in prayer. Father, I thank you for your goodness, and I thank you for this church. I thank you again for the opportunity to open your word tonight. And I pray that you would speak to every heart in here tonight, Lord. And I pray that you would raise up many, many preachers to go forth and proclaim your name from this very place. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.